So, the goal of the meditation is a peaceful mind. But when I say peaceful these days, people don't associate the right thing with it. Because for a lot of people, and here's a spot for you. Beautiful. You're so lucky. Welcome. So people associate peacefulness with boredom. What I had in the monasteries, I saw these two ladies standing on our patio, and one said to the other, "Oh, it's so peaceful here, isn't it? Oh yeah, it's beautiful, so peaceful. Okay, should we move on?" So that is what people associate with peacefulness. It's basically, oh yeah, to listen for a second and then, oh, that's scary or boring or whatever, and move on. That peacefulness I'm talking about is, it comes with a deep relaxation and with a deep happiness of the mind. It means that you're exactly there where you want to be. You know, the reason the mind stops proliferating, thinking the whole time, is because you're exactly there where you want to be. If you get your mind to that place that you feel so happy and content in that moment, that it just doesn't come up with any idea about the past or the future, because it's just happy to be exactly here. And it's depending on your mood tonight, you might be easier for you, it might be more difficult. But the interesting part is, one thing we learn through the meditation is that it's not really up to us. The mind has its own ideas what's going on with it. So we cannot say, "Oh mind, you're agitated, now stop being agitated," or "Mind, now you're unhappy, so be happy." We have to know our minds a little bit and know the skillful means to encourage our mind to maybe look a little bit on the brighter side. For me, for example, I have to do the Armadale group now three times every 2 weeks. So my mind was getting a bit negative, and I thought, "Oh, mind, you know, I don't, sort of, it's not my turn now, I don't want to do it." And then, so I have to look after my own mind today. I had to look after my own mind and just try to develop the most positive attitude that I can tonight, being here with you, because I hate to do a crappy job. And I also I know that is my real job in the monastery. It's not to change my outside circumstances and complain. It's to look after my own mind and find the skillful means of encouraging my mind, that it's a beautiful thing that I teach them. There's some effort involved, but usually once I've done it, it always gives me a good feeling, actually, if I have a feeling there was something coming across, or just the thought of I did my best to help people understand their own minds a little bit better. So the same thing we all have to do at the very beginning of our meditation. The moment we start with that meditation, to develop that attitude where you want to meditate, where you are the scientist and you want to look what's going on in that mind. It's not that you have that attitude, "I want to achieve that and that in the meditation." It's much more, what happens if the mind calms down a little bit? What happens when that energy increases because the mind doesn't proliferate so much? Because we lose that energy through our thought process. Most of our energy we lose through this constant inner monologue that is going on. So if we manage to calm that down a little bit, and then bringing that little bit of positive energy into it, to whatever it is, look at it. If the thought comes up of, "Oh, that's boring," then have a good look at boredom. Have a look. What is boredom? How does boredom feel? Where is boredom? Where can you locate boredom in your body? Or if the mind gets negative, I think too much, it's hopeless, I'm too restless. You just said, that is not the point. The point is the point is not to make so much noise in the kitchen. So whenever the mind drifts into, oh, I want something, I want to be more still, I want to be more peaceful, instead of trying to push the mind in a certain direction, see what can you give your mind in that moment to make it a little bit more happy. If it's a beautiful thought, you can bring up a nice thought. That's much better than trying to push your mind in any direction. And if it's thinks too much, you can also remind it very gently, mind, now for this half an hour is not the time to think so much. You can rest a little bit, have a little bit of peace. You don't have to understand anything, you don't have to judge anything, you don't have to do anything. It's a beautiful thing. It's almost like this few moments before when you're really tired and before you go to sleep, and maybe you have these moments where it's just like, wow, the work of the day is done, there's nothing more to do, and you're happy with that, what you have achieved that day already. And with that you go into your meditation with that calm and grateful mind state already. From the very beginning you take that with you. Try to make that as strong and powerful as you can. And another point for the people, because I'm so used to that, because a lot of people are not trained in any other meditations. Usually when people start with their meditation, they start with the breath, watching the breath. So to make sure that people don't tensen up on that, I always introduce that usually with the concept that they develop a beautiful, kind mind, which I find more important. But also the mind, sometimes it wants this refuge. It's sort of drifting around, it's going to sound, it's going behind your eyes, it's going in your body, in your knee where it hurts a little bit, into your back, into your head again, and it shifts, and you're sort of, oh, where am I supposed to go? Where's the peaceful place? And you can always go back to your breath, because in the moment you pay attention, you will control your breath a little bit. That's unavoidable. But that's not a problem. You control it a little bit, but you try to make it as relaxed as possible. But you give your mind that possibility of an anchor. If it doesn't want to be with the sound and everything gets too confusing, there's always the breath. And the body breathes by itself. Remember that. You don't have to do that. Your reptile brain is doing the work. Same as with your heartbeat, blood pressure, all that stuff. And it can be conscious, but it's usually an unconscious part of us that is doing the job. So we can always have in the back of our mind, I don't have to control. I watch it and I control a bit automatically, but I don't have to. Not I shouldn't. I don't have to. So these two aspects. You can go to your breath, offer your mind your breath as a resting place, and make sure you keep up the kindest, most scientific, interested attitude of what is going on. Not what can I achieve, what is going on, what happens if I stop doing things, if I do less and less. Still a lot going on. Mostly we're not bright enough that it's interesting enough to watch it. But I guarantee you it's not all going to stop. The world is not going to end. Even with eyes closed and even not interested in hearing or feeling too much or anything, even if we don't want to push it in any direction, it's actually a lot going on still. Just developing that interest in, oh, what is it? What's happening? What is pushing? What is there that isn't peaceful? Pay good attention in your meditation. Right? Just make that your goal for tonight, that you just know as good as you can what is going on, with an interested scientific little mind that wants to know what's happening. If you can do that, great job. So, any questions before we start? Good. For the new ones, we meditate for half an hour. If you get uncomfortable in your body, you can always get up. Please just be as quiet as you can if you have to move a little bit outside or whatever. So we start, as always, trying to make our body as comfortable as possible. And from the very beginning, we put that kindness into it, even if it's a little bit burdensome maybe today, a little bit painful, just make it as good as it gets on that chair. And the best way is always, you start somewhere maybe with your feet and you wriggle them a little bit and find a nice distance between your feet. See that your toes and your feet are relaxed and the knees stand in a nice angle towards the ground. Now the people on the chair, they have to check how close their buttock is sitting towards the backrest. If it's too far away, then the angle is not quite comfortable, and you will feel that if you take a deep breath. And when your chest should expand and your belly should be able to expand as well if you take a deep breath. And then you also check if you might need to open the bottom of your trousers, if it's not constricting. It's very important that you feel comfortable around that region. With each out-breath, you can relax your shoulders a little bit more. And doing that, you also find the right position for your hands. Somewhere in your lap is the right position. It doesn't put any extra strain on your shoulders and your neck. That upper body position can be beautifully figured out with just a few deep breaths. The out breaths, you relax the shoulders. When the shoulders relax, you feel your neck getting into the right position. Your head is not leaning towards too far forwards or too far backwards. It's getting in the right position, little by little, by itself, and the shoulders relax. And if your bottom doesn't sit too far away from your backrest, then also your spine will get in the most possible comfortable position. And that is just by breathing in deeply and breathing out and paying attention that your shoulders loosen up. Concerns, all that we had to worry about, it's all falling away from our shoulders now. The mind can get interested in what is going on right now. What is happening if I don't have to figure out anything? Please put that little bit of effort now in the beginning in that friendly attitude, that way of like you watch somebody you really like, you're really careful. Or somebody you just want the very best for. This very sense of friendliness to it. And you take that with your breath. To that what has to happen anyway, breathing in. Whatever comes up for the thoughts, it's time to rest now. You always work so hard. Always try to manipulate. Always try to figure out how to do things best. Judging far too much. Use thoughts, you are allowed to have this beautiful pause. You will still come up, but just the interest is not following. The interest is not in spinning it out. The interest is just seeing the thought come and going again. Seeing the feeling come and going again. Hearing the sound, and it's going again. Just this constant flow. And the kind scientist is just watching, with no judgment at all. Just kindly allow your mind to become more restful. Now it's your beautiful opportunity, mind, to rest with all these nice other people here in that beautiful atmosphere of doing something together. Coming together in peace. Gratitude, contentment. Whatever it's like in your mind. Yes, that's good. It's good enough. Well done, mind. Happy wherever you want to go. You're most welcome. there are still expectations of how the mind is supposed to be. That is very, very heavy. It can all be dropped. Just be so kind right in this moment now. It's good enough. I'm not in control. Shoulds can just fall off the shoulders, just become this little bit lighter, becomes this little bit more beautiful. you have developed enough calm kindness, then you can go and watch a little bit closer what your breath is doing. If you have a long in-breath, short, what moves in the body when you intake and when you exhale. Like a kind offering to the mind. That's a very close point to rest. Still something going on, but it's that much has to go on anyway. You have that feeling you have enough kind interest. Rest with that breath. The body does the job. You just watch kindness. See if you really know what's going on when you breathe. gonna ring the bell 3 times, and after the 3rd chime, please open your eyes and we end the meditation for tonight. So for the new people, obviously, half an hour is a relative long time when you start with a meditation. This might be easier if you start with a far shorter period of time. The important thing is that the mind keeps, you can keep that interest up. You can keep the mind in a frame where it's sort of, okay, now just maybe 10 minutes relaxation, and see actually how calm it gets, and what is happening if I don't think so much. 10 minutes is not so threatening. Half an hour for an active mind can be sort of, oh, half an hour, that's a long time already. So see what time frame for your own mind is still something you can keep an interested, positive attitude to. If it's 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, sometimes it's, you say 5 minutes and the mind gets interested and it's a bit longer. And that's much better, because you start with a good attitude, with an interested attitude towards your meditation. Otherwise, it easily can become a burden from the very beginning. Another exercise, another thing you have to do. And there's is very sad when there's no love towards that meditation, and it's not going to take off. If it's not something that you associate with something that is beautiful, if you're like these two ladies who said, oh, it's so peaceful, but then you want to run away. If you don't know that peacefulness is really exactly that, where that you have this moment where you don't want to be anywhere else. If you find your mind going in that direction, towards that calm, towards that peacefulness, then you know in your mind it is a wholesome knowledge. You can feel it. It feels safe, it feels friendly. There's gratitude there. There's all the beautiful attributes that the mind can have, basically come together in that direction. Because it's we had that question last time of what is reality. And I think we agreed that we create that reality, but with consent. So we agree upon a reality. I mean, there are certain restrictions that are given to us because we're obviously in a human form. So we cannot all agree upon that we're gonna fly tonight, actually. We could, and then jump off the cliff, but it wouldn't change the reality that the bodies would still smash on the ground, obviously. But most of our lives are completely dictated by the beliefs that we agree upon. It's a very important belief that we think if we get that from the outside that we want, we're getting more happy. No? So if we start to question that, is that really the case? No? Is the mind really in a position to be happy if it just gets more from the outside? No? Does it not, that happiness, does it not have to come from somewhere completely different? That is what you can investigate in your meditation. If you know that place a little bit closer, I'm talking about that place of you don't want to be anywhere else, then you see what is taking you away from that place. And that is not wanting to be where you are. That is taking us away from that place. Unhappiness with that place. Discontent. Always looking for the beautiful spot on the other side of the level. Yeah?
Excuse me, I find sometimes I'm because my expectations are too high or something. I try and force the good feeling or something, or the happiness, or and then it's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't work. I sort of try and think, no, I'm going to have a really good meditation, and then I'm like, because, you know, you feel tired or something, and you think, no, put that aside, I'm going to have a good meditation, and then you try and force the feelings and come up and anything. Try and force the happiness or something.
Yeah. Well, and In a way, it doesn't need to be wrong. I mean, this positive attitude I was talking about, if you put that in the beginning of your meditation, sometimes if you relax during your meditation, even that kindness can become heavy. Yeah? It can feel a little bit forced, like you have to keep the grin and be friendly or whatnot. And then you relax that as well, but you relax that with the same kindness. Huh? You know that you don't have to do that anymore. Huh? And so even that can fall away, but the attitude is there. You have that attitude in the background that you're happy with what is there. And you're even happy that you don't have to, even happier that you don't have to try to fake the happiness anymore.
But I think if you go to that reptilian breathing or something, or where you don't have to think about, you just go with the breathing.
No, the reptilian brain is just controlling your breath. And so that is just the reassuring part for you in the back of your mind that you, because often if you look at your breath, the mind starts to control the breath. Is it too short? Is it too long? Oh, it doesn't feel comfortable, actually. I should breathe a little bit more towards my breast. No, my belly should go out. And you start manipulating like mad again, actually. Huh? So it's basically, you can just reassure mind.
Because once I
you know how to
a long
breathe.
Time, then I start to feel a little bit like happiness coming up, you know. And so, but then I think, oh no, it's forcing it, like, the doctor.
Yeah, but that's okay. The forcing is automatic. I mean, the other guy basically just tries to control again. Oh no, don't force it, basically. That's just another idiot basically trying to do something. The thing should be that kind attitude of whatever is happening, go ahead. And the body is going to do the work. It's going to breathe. It's going to breathe when you get unconscious. It's going to breathe when you sleep. It's gonna do the job, and that's your reassurance. Basically, you can always go back to your breath. And it's just that there's nothing to fear there, as long as you breathe, you're alive. And even if you don't want to be alive, the last thing you can do is stop your breath. It doesn't work. Huh? it's impossible to kill yourself that way. Or you take a plastic bag and put it over your head and walk on. But you cannot will your breath from stopping. Huh? So if whenever the mind doubts, am I doing anything wrong? Am I breathing right? Whatever, sort of, it's okay. Body is doing the job. That is why I mentioned that. That you have that reassurance, because the mind, it doesn't know anything but controlling. Whatever it looks at, it wants to control. That is the whole job of the mind, and that lessens the happier the mind is in that moment. That is why I try to develop with you that wholesome attitude in the mind, that the mind gets to that point where it's not perfect, but it's actually not that bad. I'm feeling quite alright here. Can have a look here. Huh? And then that kindness encourages you, just like, yeah, oh look. And if it feels, if the sort of boredom comes up, if you have that little bit of kindness, it's sort of, well, it can be interesting to look at boredom. Really try to identify what boredom is. It's a concept in the mind, it's an ideal. Right? It's basically the mind trying to find something else. But in the moment you look with interest at boredom, it disappears. The same as with fear, same as with anything else. Give it that right and kind attention, and it dissolves into something which is more peaceful again. No? But to get that attitude in the mind, that is the hardest part. No? That is something I wanted to talk about today. And some of you are familiar with the Eightfold Path. And I just give that it's for people who have never heard of it, that it isn't something completely esoteric or whatnot. It's right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right attention or right mindfulness, and right samadhi. That is what we are doing, try to meditate, getting into deep meditation. That's the eighth factor of the Eightfold Path. So that it's not all working in a sequence, that you have to have complete right view to even start to live a wholesome life. Huh? It helps, obviously, if you have some right view, that you even can distinguish wholesome and unwholesome. Huh? But you don't need to develop every factor of the past in sequence. Hmm? But still, the eighth factor, that meditation, what we're after, is the accumulation of the other factors of the Eightfold Path, and one of these is the right effort. And people get this right effort often very, very wrong. Yeah? I think it's an effort. I have to make an effort, and I should meditate more, and I should do this, and I should do that. Right effort, defined by the Buddha, is developing the wholesome thoughts that the mind hasn't developed yet. Maintaining the wholesome thoughts that the mind has not has developed yet. Abandoning the unwholesome thoughts that have arisen in the mind, and avoiding the accumulation of new unwholesome thoughts that are in the mind already. Yeah? That is the efforts. And the hardest of this effort, we would think, is avoiding the unwholesome thoughts, and it's difficult. If you watch your mind during a day, if you can distinguish now, if you've come often enough and you know what I mean by an unwholesome thought and a wholesome thought, huh? Unwholesome thought is, ah, what a bitch, what an idiot, yeah, it's not fast enough, ah, come on, press the accelerator, stupid. And it goes, if you watch your mind, how many of these thoughts arise every day, it's very interesting. Huh? Don't get disencouraged, because you can feel like, wow, there's a lot of unwholesome stuff going on in my mind, and that is in my mind still as well. Huh? But it's either we can justify that, we can say, yeah, I have the right to do that because of this outside world there, actually. I'm justified to think these thoughts. And you can find the philosophy that is supporting you in your view. I'm pretty sure. Just look long and hard enough, and you will find somebody who says that's completely right. That sort of thought is what you have to have in this world, this day and age. But that is not the question in Buddhism. The question in Buddhism is that something leading to peace in my mind? Is that leading to peace in other people's mind? Is that leading to that place of contentment, of I don't want anything else? That is the question in Buddhism, and that is how it is defined, wholesomeness and unwholesomeness. If it's peaceful, if it feels right, if it feels calm, if you're exactly there where you want to be in your own mind, that is how the place is defined in Buddhism. That is how unwholesomeness and wholesomeness is defined. So everything, every thought that works against that is obviously considered an unwholesome thought in Buddhism. And you can only reduce them by carefully examining where that is leading you. Not by forbidding you to think something like that. Just watch very carefully the consequences and the possibilities of those kinds of thoughts. Is there a chance that makes you more peaceful? Is there the option in that negativity that makes you more happy? That is going to lead to other people's happiness, to calming the waters, to make it more friendly, make it more to a place where you feel at home. Is that possible? And if you examine carefully enough, you will find this sense of this kind of aggressive and negative thoughts, they have no value to go in that direction. It's basically they're really stirring in exactly the opposite direction. But a very, very difficult thing is to develop the wholesome thoughts that we haven't developed yet. And that is, if you have difficulties in your meditation, you think, oh, my mind doesn't get peaceful enough or whatnot. Meditare, I think, from the Latin word, is in the original sense, it's not the right description for the Buddhist samadhi, for the culmination of the Eightfold Path. It's actually to think over, is meditare, as far as I know. So it's that contemplation. And that contemplation can have that aspect to it needs that discipline that we usually hardly ever have as Westerns anymore, to stick with a certain train of thought and stir that with that little bit of effort, which might even be exhausting, into a wholesome direction. And that's almost like fake it until you make it. But if you are skillful, you will see there comes a certain feeling with that. Sometimes I have that here in the group. I say something and I don't move myself. And sometimes I hit a point in myself and I feel something behind that. When I said, coming together in peace, that was very moving for me. That felt like sort of, wow, that's beautiful. That had some emotional impact. And that is what we're looking for. That is what the wholesome thoughts that lead to this wholesome emotion, when you have the feeling that it opens up and the walls come down. And if you develop this train of thought, you will figure out sometimes you're skillful and it works, and sometimes it doesn't work, and the stuff that works often doesn't work the second time is the trouble. We need often new input, new memories to be moved again, or sometimes it's just the wrong time. We have thought about that before, but in that moment it doesn't move us at all. So to develop the wholesome thoughts that haven't been developed yet, and maintaining all that wholesome stuff that you have inside of yourself, and that is, you need that meditation, that mindfulness, to even register what is good already, what is wholesome in me already. And don't forget that. And don't push that aside. It's in Buddhism very important that you become aware of your good qualities, because they are the qualities you want to maintain. They are the qualities you want to encourage. And the same way to distinguish them, if it leads to calmness, to feeling safe, feeling that you need less from the outside, that gives you self-confidence, harmlessness or guilelessness or whatever you want to call it. If you sit down and it feels like, yeah, that's the right direction, that feels more beautiful in that direction. That is stuff you want to maintain. You want to be very aware of them. What are these good qualities? Are you generous? Are you forgiving? Are you helpful? What is your strength? And build on that. Build on your strength. Encourage you with that good stuff already, and then you, if the mind gets a little bit of a feel how nice it is in that direction, it becomes less and less work also to stay away from the other stuff. But it's not easy, and I don't do that often enough, I have to admit, in my own meditation, to do that constructive contemplation about something wholesome in my own mind. It's very difficult to do. Some people do that with loving kindness, but it has to evoke something. Cannot stay a meaningless phrase. I mean, maybe the first time if somebody guides you, it can be very powerful if you have somebody who you have a good day and somebody's maybe inspiring and it's new for you, and you sit down and you say, oh, may I be well. Oh, may other beings be well. May all beings be well. And sometimes something clicks at the mind, and it's getting sort of, wow, what a beautiful soul. They're just how non-threatening, how unusual. Somebody wishing goodness. How beautiful, what a beautiful attitude. And you just appreciate that in yourself and see the possibilities. And it can invoke a strong emotion, but very easily it goes after a while, may I be well, may others be well. And so it doesn't do a thing anymore. So that's the trouble with the mind. You cannot just, now I find a way or whatnot, now I have my master, because it doesn't work like that. You have to play around, you have to stay inventive and keep that kind interest in the right direction. Otherwise it becomes a meaningless ritual again for the mind. It still reminds you maybe a little bit where it's supposed to go, but it just doesn't have any power after a while anymore. And maybe after 1 minute you're back in a sort of your problems at work or whatever. So it takes an incredible amount of skill to find where you can build upon in your own mind. But I encourage you to not start what is wrong with you. Start with what is right with you. Make a list and really appreciate these good points you have inside of yourself. And I'm convinced you all have that. Everybody here has these good qualities. And instead of bringing the mind always to see where are still the problems, bring that mind in that contemplation to, wow, that is already there, that is already beautiful. That is a beautiful quality of the sense. There's nothing to be embarrassed about or to be I mean, very easily that guy can come up and, oh, no, be careful, basically, you're just getting too conceited. No. Be aware of your good qualities. Because that is what you want to make stronger inside of your mind. If the mind loves to be in that place where it doesn't have to go anywhere anymore, where it's peaceful, where it's safe, and where it's interesting. It's not there where it's, oh, it's beautiful and peaceful, but I want to take off, take me somewhere else. It's there where it wants to be. Make that clear in your mind. Please don't associate that peacefulness with boredom. It's bliss. It's beauty. It's stuff falling from the shoulders. It's somebody taking you in your arms for the females, or somebody, a good mate, slapping you on the shoulder. Yeah? But much more than that. And it brings tears to your eyes if it goes deep. It's like feeling welcome in a place where you didn't expect to be so welcome for nothing. And it's not because something is achieved, it's something is let go of, something fell off your shoulders. And especially that criticizer falls off your shoulders. That one that is never content. That one who is finding faults. And that is just dropping off the shoulders because the one who the ones that are there, that are, have these beautiful qualities, become just more prominent in the mind. Because if the mind looks at those qualities, it becomes stronger. Like the same when you wash your breast in your meditation, the mind is doing something. It's fiddling around. And it's becoming more aware of it. And if you reflect on your wholesome qualities and take time with it, don't just go over it. Oh yeah, I'm generous, but what else? Eh? You're generous, so you remember the occasions, maybe where you did something almost selfless, and then you start the other way around, and you start with the very simple things, just some good morning where you felt that you gave some kindness to another person. Or maybe you let somebody in with the car or whatnot into your space while you were driving, or you cooked something for somebody else, or you said something nice to somebody else. Give me simple. Start with that, and then just the mind can build on that. Don't just say, oh, that wasn't that great or whatnot. That was kind. Realize that. That is kindness. If somebody does that to me, that would feel like kindness. And then you can go from that to the next. And sometimes we are completely astounded how many kind things we did that we completely ignore over the day as well. Because our mind is so trained of looking what is wrong. Try to get the danger out of the way. Try to remove all the obstacles to get it right. And we completely, mind forgets that so easily, to look in that direction. And if you have difficulties watching your own mind, if you have difficulties of that kindness because you feel too worthless or whatnot, then maybe start with somebody else. Start with somebody else who did something nice. And you come from that angle. You remember a lot of nice things that were done to you. And then maybe by itself, some stuff comes to your mind where you see, oh, you did the same or similar or nearly similar things to other people. And if you remember how that felt to you, and that how simple that sometimes was. I mean, the more we down, sometimes the most simple gesture can be incredibly powerful for us. If we don't expect it in these moods where you don't expect anything from the world, and somebody unexpectedly does that act of kindness, it feels incredibly powerful. Huh? And so we can never underestimate this small gestures of goodwill and kindness. I mean, this kindness you do, trying to get that money for that sexually abused young adult or whatever he is. Huh? Don't underestimate that. Pat yourself on the shoulder for that. Don't be afraid of conceit. Great, beautiful. If a lot of people do that, we're gonna live in a very beautiful world. Huh? If we look after each other, if we help each other, if we're kinder to each other, that's what we all want. Huh? It's what we like. It feels right. It's beautiful. It feels safe. And that is where the mind can clearly distinguish between wholesome and unwholesome. That is the place where we don't have to philosophize. It's the place where we see. If somebody wants to sell me brutality for wholesomeness, surely no, I don't buy it. You don't know your own mind, you don't know other people's mind. And so the more you get a little bit of a taste of that sort of happy place in your mind, hopefully when you sit down, that you learn to treat yourself and others that kind, that you find that place often enough when you sit down and just thought, wow, I don't need anything else, I'm happy right here, not doing anything. And if it's just for a few minutes, few months, that is, the mind will remember that, huh? And the mind will lose that uncertainty about what is worthwhile, what is unworthy, what is anything worthwhile anyway. Huh? Know how the mind can go. I'm gonna die anyway. Why be friendly to people? Mm-hmm. 4 billion years, the sun is gonna be a red giant and the earth is swallowed. Actually, so what's the point? I mean, the mind can go in any direction, right? But if you have a little bit of a feeling towards that place I'm talking about, you will also see even that thought is not kind and friendly. It's a worthless thought. Huh? It's a worthless projection into the future, and you have all your days still to live until your last breath. Yeah? And we all want to be happy as long as we can. Huh? So if we want that happiness, then we have to know the way to that happiness. And any other way, the best boyfriend is not going to do the job. The best husband, the best wife, nobody out there is going to do the job. If your mind hasn't established that beautiful space inside, it's still gonna look and look and look, and it's never gonna find it, because it's impossible. It's not on the outside. It's that moment of, I'm happy where I am, not I want to be somewhere different. And if you meditate long enough, you will see that the space is when things fall away and not when you gain things. It's when wanting gets lessened and not when you want more. And then you also hopefully get more skillful by not wanting so much in your meditation. Huh? Not pushing the mind in the direction of criticizing it. Huh? Maybe that little bit of effort of trying to stay kind, but even that effort can fall away kindly afterwards. Huh? Even that is a little bit heavy. Oh, that's good. That's half. Thank you very much.
Thank you.